as the men are getting ready to set up the plates. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you would stand to honor the word of God. We're reading from verses 23 to 29 as we prepare for this Lord's Supper. Just follow along with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And in verse 31, as we close, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." As the men prepare the plates, as they come up in front of the pulpit to prepare it, the first thing I would like us to do is to take some time, for a few minutes of your time, to kneel down. And for those of you that aren't able to kneel down, I ask you to remain seated. And the Bible says that the Lord's Supper is not a sacrament that adds to your salvation or brings you to salvation. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance that is exclusive to the church. It is not for everybody. Contrary to what people think and believe, that you can partake with the Lord's Supper. There are certain prerequisites to partaking the Lord's Supper. First of all, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. You have to be a member of the body of Christ. But more importantly, verse 28 says, you have to examine yourself. You have to judge yourself. There is a warning in verse 30. The Bible says that if you were to take and partake of the Lord's Supper and you are not saved, there is a damnation that will come to you. We don't take this lightly. But even for those of us that are Christians, if there is any sin in our lives that we have not judged or we have not repented of and admitted to God, I warn you, there is a consequence for partaking of the Lord's Supper if you have not gotten your spirit and your heart right with God. The Bible says in verse 30, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You could be weakened, you could get sick, and the Bible says, yes, you can die. Okay? So as a church, let us take a few minutes of our time to just kneel down and have a seat and commune with God for a few minutes. Ask God if there's any wicked thought, any sin in your life and in your heart. Let's do that right now. Father, we come to you this morning as believers, as individual Christians, and as a church, recognizing our sinful nature, knowing that we are not able to make ourselves righteous. But Father, this morning I ask you to forgive us once again, to cleanse our hearts, to purify our thoughts, as we remember you, how you had broken your body and you had shed your blood. So Lord, I come to you this morning that as a church, as the pastor of this church, I come to you and beg you that if there's any sin in our midst, that if there's any sin in our heart, Father, please forgive us. We are sinful people. We are unworthy to take of you. But Father, we are thankful for what you have done at the cross. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for dying for our sin. And thank you for paying the penalty for our sin. Cleanse us once again. Cleanse us this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As the men come, I want you to take a look at verses 23 and 24. In verse 23, the Bible says that on that same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Ushers, can you distribute the wafers, please? And let's make sure the nursery workers also get one too, and the Sunday school workers outside. Everybody have one? Can everybody have one? Let me ask my brother to pray and thank God for his broken body.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for the body that you have offered on the cross. And we realize that this wafer is just a symbol of your body that you have sacrificed on that cross. We thank you, Lord, for that broken body.
Yes.
Thank you for the promise. Thank you for that hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And go to partake of it. In verse 25, the Bible says that after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Ushers, you can go ahead and distribute. Brother Mac, can you pray and thank God for his shed blood that we remember as we partake of this cup, Brother Mac?
Lord, as we drink Thank us. We thank you for all the blessings for your time on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We ask you and pray in your Son Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead and partake of it. You can just leave the cups on the, there should be a holder in front of you. Just, if you could just stack them up. Thank you, ushers. Thank you, man, for doing that. Thank you, Sister Sandra, for preparing it for our church. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll continue on with the service. Let me ask Brother Raul to close our Lord's Supper in prayer. Please, Brother Raul. Turn to hymn number 200 as we continue on.
Yeah, let's go ahead and let's plan to, on the February 15th, which is Thursday night, let's plan to have a meeting. By then we should have some information on the plumbing and any other things that we'll bring up at that time. So it'll be the February 15th, tentatively, for our meeting regarding the plumbing. And number 200, let me get to that. Took him to paradise.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Supper that we just had, Lord, commemorating you. We know, Lord, that it's just your blood and your body that takes care of us. We pray, Lord, that everything that's done here today will be to glorify you. We pray for this offering, Lord, that we further the gospel to hear in our church, but throughout the world, missionaries are preached. We pray, Lord, that you'll hear our pastor bring the Holy Spirit, that the words he has to us will be from him. And we just say thank you, Lord, that you put the words in his mouth. We again thank you for this church that you've given us that preaches and teaches your word without compromise.
Yes.
Again, thank you so much again for the many blessings. Thank you for loving us before we first love you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, and I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And in case you didn't read the announcements, Jacinta Hannibal, she needs your prayer again. She's, my understanding, her cancer has returned. So keep her in prayer. And then we have Julie Baggy with a special for us.
you, Julie. Matthew chapter 28 will be our ending verse. Matthew chapter 28. Just put a bookmark there and then turn right back to 1 Samuel chapter 14. What a timing message of the song. Matthew 12, chapter 28 verse. Just put a little bookmark there and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 14. I only got four verses to preach from this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 14, looking at verses 31 to 34. Just follow along with me. Then I'll ask Brother Jeffrey in the back to pray for this message. 1 Samuel chapter 14, once you're there, say amen. Look at verse 31. Verse 31 says, "And they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash to Aijalon." And notice the Bible says, "And the people were faint. And the people flew upon the soil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, 'Behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood.' And he said, 'Ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day.'" And in verse 34, "And Saul said, 'Disperse yourselves among the people.'" That's the title of this message. "Disperse yourselves among the people. "And say unto them, 'Bring me hither every man his ox and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood.' And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night and slew them there." In verse 34. Brother Jeffrey, can you pray for this message, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we had learned that the reason for their fainting was because King Saul had prohibited them from eating of the honey. We also learned that Jonathan was the only one that tasted the honey, and he was the only one that felt enlightened. And we said that the reason why you may be faint, you may be fainting or powerless as a Christian, is because as Christians, we need to constantly sustain our Christian lives with the Word of God. Amen. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." If you are living a powerless Christian today, it is because you are not claiming the promises of God and you are not clinging to His holy word. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, the Bible says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, 'You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.'" He says it again in Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Just listen. "And Jesus answering said unto them, 'Do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God?" So first of all, if you are a powerless Christian today and if you feel that there is no victory in your Christian life, it is because you are not clinging to this book. Secondly, if you are not saved today, I will tell you this. The reason why you will not find any purpose in life is because you have not partaken of the living Word of God. Many people today are looking for a purpose in life. Many people today are confused with what they're going to do with this life. And I'll tell you, you will never find it. You'll never find satisfaction. You will never find the answer. You will never find that longing that your soul is looking for until you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I tell you, apart from this book, you will never know your purpose in life. John chapter 6 verse 63, the Bible says this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." I want you to turn there. John chapter 6 verse 63. I want you to notice something here in John. John chapter 6 verse 63. This one I want you to see. You want to have a reason, a purpose in your life? Take a look at what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6 verse 63. He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You see, the very words of God is spiritual. The very words of God is what brings you life. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. The Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible." How are we born again? People say, "Well, I have been born again." How were you born again? Notice what 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says. "It is by the word of God, which by the way, liveth and abideth forever." 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible says, all scripture in any language is given by inspiration of God. Pay attention to that word, inspiration. If your Bible does not have that word inspiration, throw out that book. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Take a look at that word inspiration. In that word inspiration, you will find the word spirit. S-P-I-R, spirit. People say that they translate that to mean breath. There are very few times in this book where that the root word of that word spur was translated breath. But 322 times that word spur is translated the Spirit of God. And why is that important to understand? Because the Spirit of God is the one that breathes into you through this book. Amen? You want God to speak to you. You want the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you. Sometimes we try to listen. I'm waiting for a still small voice to talk to me. I'm waiting for some kind of sign, some kind of magical, outward sign to know what God wants me to do. You don't have to as a Christian today. All you got to do is read this book. And the Bible says that through this book, the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. That's what inspiration means. You know, when Jonathan tasted of that honey, the Bible says that his eyes were enlightened. Look at verse 32 now. Verse 32, the Bible says, "And the people flew upon the spoil and took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground." And what did they do? The people did eat them with the blood. Notice, because the people were fainting, they decided to kill the cattle. You know what's going on here? They went into survival mode. They went into survival mode. They were so hungry and they were so weak that they get to the point in their life that they would eat just about anything. I mean, even the things that were forbidden. And look at verse 33. Verse 33 says, and they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord in that they eat with the blood. Can you picture what the Israelites were doing here? They were so hungry. They were at the point of fainting. They were so desperate that they rummaged through the cattle and the animals. They started killing the animals with their knives and with their butchers. And instead of cooking that animal, they just began to eat them raw with the blood that's still in it. Wow. Now you understand that the blood is sacred. The blood is sacred. The first murder that brought curse into the land. Go to Genesis chapter 4 with me. Genesis chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. How many of you remember the first two sons by the name of Cain and Abel? You know what happened? I tell you, the blood is sacred. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. Well, let's just start with verse 8. This is a good story. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Wow. The first son of man was a murderer. And the first person that he murders is his own brother. And the Lord said unto Cain in verse 9, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, there's preaching there. Amen? Oftentimes as Christians, we just care about ourselves. We want to do what is it that we want to do. Sometimes we do it at the expense of somebody else. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? But I want you to notice verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's what? Blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You understand why man has to labor and continue to work today? The atheists ask why, if there is a God, why is there poverty and suffering on earth? I'll tell you why. Because of the murders in this land. I tell you, every innocent life that is taken, every ounce of innocent blood that is spilled, there is a curse to mankind. You keep on killing the innocent in the womb even before they are born. That is why there is poverty and there is suffering on earth. Amen? The atheist says, I don't believe that there is God. Because if there is God, there would not be poverty. Because if there is God, there would not be suffering on earth. I'll tell you, there is poverty and there is suffering on earth because we spill human blood. This is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, Hebrews 9, 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, there's only one cure to this curse that was brought upon mankind. I saw a bumper sticker once. The bumper sticker said this: life is short, death is sure, sin the cause, Christ the cure. Amen? Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you, there are those today that say that it is the death of Jesus Christ. There are some preachers today that they say, well, you are saved because Jesus Christ died for you. I tell you, that is not enough. It is not just the death of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. It is the blood of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Hebrews 13, verse 20, he calls us through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, I tell you, the doctrine of the blood has to remain. Even Baptist preachers today, Baptist pastors today, are no longer preaching the blood. First they question the book, and then they stop preaching the blood. Ephesians 2:13, you tell me what the Bible say. Ephesians 2:13, the Bible says, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of what? Sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7. I'm going to keep going. You say, well, it's just the death of Jesus Christ. Let me argue with you with the scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Finally, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen? Do you believe in the blood? Do you believe that we are saved today because of the blood? Amen. But you see, since they were forbidden from eating honey, they got hungry and desperate. They were like cannibals and wild beasts. Israel rummaged through the animals they killed and ate, even with the blood. There was a famine. They were forbidden to eat that honey. Now go to Amos chapter 8 with me. You see, in the Christian life and in the world today, there is a famine. People are forbidden from partaking of the Word of God. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. I want you to see this one. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12, so you know that I'm not making things up. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send what? A famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. What kind of famine, according to Amos? A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Look at verse 12. He says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. And what does verse 12 say? And shall not find it. Now here is the challenge to every ministry. And those that are called to preach the word of God, if you don't feed them the word of God, the people will get hungry and eat. Listen to this. If you don't get fed with the word of God, the people will get hungry and eat anything that is available to them. Amen? If I don't keep on preaching and teaching the word of God, if man will not surrender to the calling to preach, if Christians will not give out tracts, if Christians will not give the world the answers, the world will eat just about anything. Amen? I tell you, they will listen to any doctrine, any philosophy, any cult, or anyone who has something available to feed the hungry soul of man. And that's what's going on with the society today. The heart of man, every unsaved person, even in this room and outside of this building, are looking for an answer. And if they cannot find that answer from the preaching behind this pulpit, from the Sunday school, I tell you, they will find it somewhere else. And they will partake of just about anything, just about any doctrine, any philosophy. They will eat of it. Why? Because they're hungry. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 12 with me. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 12 says, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep anger forever." Slide down to verse 15. Verse 15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." What's the job of a pastor? I'm sorry, what does that say? What does verse 15 say? According to Jeremiah chapter 3. Thank you. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Amen. That verse says, that verse does not say that I will give you pastors to dominate you. It doesn't say that I will give you pastors to administrate you. It doesn't say that I will give you pastors to tell you what to do and you take your money. That verse says, "I will give you pastors that will feed you with knowledge and understanding." Amen. You understand the job of a pastor in the ministry of the word? Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This one's for you, Christians. Now that I've preached to myself, let me preach to you now. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That's for you. Sanctify the Lord God's in your heart. I hope that's what you did this morning. But notice the verse says, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You see, if we close down the doors of this church, if you give up and stop living the Christian life, if you do not read your own Bible, the others will not have a choice but to eat blood. They will find answers somewhere else. All you got to do is look around every corner in the city. In every corner of in the city of Chula Vista and San Diego, you'll find a cult. In every corner of every city, you'll find a false religion. Every corner of Chula Vista, you'll find false teachers teaching false doctrine. You know what they're doing? They're feeding the hungry people with blood. You go to every Roman Catholic church, every Roman Catholic church will tell you that when they have what we have done today, they say it is a sacrament that is a part of your salvation. It is not. They say it is the literal blood that you're drinking of. They say it is the literal body that you're taking of. No, it is a symbol of the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. But you see, more reason for me to keep preaching and teaching the Word of God. The more reason for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church to stay open and go out door knocking. More reason for every Sunday school teacher to keep teaching. Amen? Because if you look around you, people are looking for answers. And there are false teachers and false preachers out there that are willing to give them some fake answers. And then they collect money after. I had a Jehovah's Witness come knocking at my door one time. They say, here, we have some literature for you. And, you know, we'd like to invite you to go come and take this literature. Initially, they make it sound like it's free. And then right before they leave, they ask for money. Amen? What do you call that? Can you pay for the Word of God? Do you pay for salvation? No, salvation is free. The Word of God is free. It is not owned by anybody. Amen. Now you need to come to Sunday school so that when you conduct or attend a home Bible study, you would be equipped to share the Word of God. You know, in the future, I would like for our church to have a Bible Institute. In the future. Once I have more free time, God willing, if God allows me to retire and have some sort of steady income to provide for my family, I would like for us to have a Bible Institute. So that those who are preparing for the ministry, or maybe you're just hungry to learn the Word of God, would not have to look outside of this church. Amen? But even now at home, I hope you, those of you that have kids like me, I hope you teach your own children the Word of God. Because if you don't talk to them about it at home, I'll tell you, they will ask someone else. They will. You want your children to ask their peers to give them the answers for their questions about life? Amen? I hope you mothers speak to your daughters. Tell them about the grown-up life. The last thing that you need is your daughter going to talk to somebody else's mother for answers about puberty. Amen? And I hope those of you that have sons, don't wait for your son to ask another man for answers about the grown-up life. Talk to them about it. And then finally, wherever you go as a Christian, I hope you carry a Bible with you. You know why? Because you never know when an opportunity to share it might come. You know, and when that time comes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, when I put on my uniform, I carry a New Testament Bible with Psalms and Proverbs in my left pocket, right here. Just waiting for that opportunity. When the opportunity comes, you open up that book. It does not matter where you're at. If you have the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the people that He wants you to witness to. If you're not carrying a Bible, I say, well, I have my phone. Don't get me wrong. Okay, technology is great. And I know that the Bible app, I use it too. But I guarantee you, you find yourself fumbling through your phone, you know, trying to open an app. Yes, the Word of God might be there, but I hope you carry a Bible. Amen. Carry a Bible. You got to learn how to flip through the pages. Find where to go. Amen? John chapter 16, verse 13, you may be asking, Pastor, I don't know much about the Word of God. How do I witness to somebody? How can I lead somebody to Christ? John 16, 13 says this. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You see? All you got to do is carry a Bible. Just carry a book. Just carry your book. Look at verse 34 now to close. Verse 34 of our text. And Saul said, the nation of Israel, they began to eat of that blood. And Saul tells them, you have sinned against God in eating of that blood. And in verse 34, Saul says, disperse yourselves among the people. Disperse yourselves among the people and say unto them, bring me here every man his ox and every man his sheep, and slay them here and eat, and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night and slew them there. I like what King Saul said. King Saul said to disperse yourselves. You know what that reminds me of? Matthew 28 verses 18 to 12. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 12 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Disperse yourselves. You don't want to know what true, you want to know what true Christianity is about? I'll tell you, Christianity is not about what goes on in here. Christianity is what goes on from here to there. If you confine your Christianity into the inside of the buildings, inside of the walls of the church, I'll tell you, you are missing out completely. This is where we recharge. This is where we learn. This is where we fellowship with one another, that we may be encouraged. But true Christianity, true ministry, is going outside. It is. And I tell you, if you are lacking that part of your life, if you're lacking that part of your life, you are not a practicing Christian. Amen? Oh yes, you may be a believer. You may be saved today. My question is, are you a Christian? Being a Christian involves taking what you get from this place, from Sunday school, from the preaching, and taking it outside. Amen? Saul said, disperse yourselves. You know what excites me? I'll share with you what excites me. What excites me is the thought of having another man with his family be called from our church to start another church somewhere else. Amen. Yeah, I know. I know we already have missionaries. You may be thinking that. Oh, Pastor, we already have 40 missionaries. Yeah, I know. But for me, there's nothing more exciting. I mean, you look at our young people. I want you to picture this. See, I think ahead of time. I think about 10, 20, a few decades ahead of me. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting for me than to see these young people grow up to become adults. Amen? And they are going to get married. You know that, right? You can't hold on to them forever. The young men, nothing that will excite me more than for them, for one of them to become a preacher. Amen. To take their wives with them and their children with them and go out there. Start another church as a product of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. That's what really excites me. Amen? I think when that time comes, when our young people are grown and have their own families, and God calls them to start another church from Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, you and I, I guarantee you, you are going to look at your labors and your sacrifices in the Lord, and you will say, it is not in vain. Amen? Those of you that came to clean up this church yesterday, I guarantee you, your bodies are aching last night. Amen? But I guarantee you, when the word of God is being sent out, if God ever calls a man or a woman from our congregations to start another church, I guarantee you, those of you that constantly make the sacrifices week after week, coming in here on a Thursday to clean up, to vacuum the floor, to clean the kitchen, to throw away the trash, to make sure there are lights around this building, giving your offering, amen? I guarantee you, one day when we get to heaven, you're going to hear about the testimonies of how God called someone in this church because the church remained open. And as a product of your labors and your sacrifices, there's another church, there's another missions work that had been started because you made the ultimate sacrifice. And then you will hear a family come back to this church and you'll find out that they are a product of the missionary that you supported for so many years. The Kimba family is a perfect example. For those of you that don't know, Sister Sally got saved under the ministry of the very first missionary of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Did you know that? The missionary that she supported for $10 a month 30, 40 years ago. The missionary that you made sacrifices for. You say, Pastor, what's $10? Oh no. Right now we're thinking $10 will buy me a McDonald's meal, right? It's nothing. But 20, 30, 40 years ago, $10 was a lot of money. And you probably never thought that your $10 would go somewhere until you met the Kimba family who was saved under that missionary that you sent out from this church. Amen? How much more $100? How much more your life? How much more your day by day, week by week, sacrifices to take care of this house of God? Amen? Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to keep on going. Amen. Amen? Let's continue to work together. Your labors and your sacrifices will not be in vain in the Lord. Let us be a lighthouse. Let us give them the answer for the hope that is in us. Amen? Let's continue as a light in the city of Chula Vista. Let's continue as a salt. Amen? I hope you're here with me. You stay with me and my family for the long run, for the long haul. Amen? And let's watch what God does for us. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you stand to your feet? Maybe you're not saved this morning. I'll tell you where you're at. If you're saved, if you're not saved this morning, you are like that Israelite. You're like those Israelites that have not partaken of that honey. You're searching for truth. You're looking for something that will satisfy your soul. You're looking for purpose in life. You're looking for answers to your problems. I guarantee you, if you are not saved today, you're that person. How about you make a decision this morning? Through simple faith. How about you say to Him today, Lord, thank you for bringing me to the right place. For bringing me to your house of worship. And for letting me partake of that spiritual honey. Would you save me today? Is there anyone like that today? Would you slip out your hand, raise up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to get saved today. I want to eat of that honey. Secondly, maybe you are a Christian already. You are a Christian already and you have forgotten that it is only by the Word of God from which we draw our strength and our victories. The altar is open if you need to come. And then finally, members of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Will you continue to make the sacrifices? Would you like to keep the Church of Chula Vista open? Can we close it down? Should we close it down? I know why you're here. You're here because you want to keep it open. Amen? You're here because you want to keep it open. We have something in common then. Amen? How about you come today and ask God and say, Lord, please provide the needs of this church. Lord, please bring people to our church. And Lord, please help us to be a beacon. Help us to be a lighthouse. Help us to be a salt. Help us to have a burden to reach out. Would you pray that this morning, Chula Vista members? The altar is open. One more verse. Maybe God's calling you to preach. To start a church. Or just to be a part of this ministry. Would you commit to something? Would you commit to... There's a lot of needs in this church. How about you commit to something? Amen, amen. God's people say... Brother Rommel, can you close the prayer?